It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. See the difference there? People think, well, you know, if I just had more to be thankful for, I'd be happy. No, 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 no. It's not that happy people are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. My heart and my goal for you today is that you leave here more happy than you came, or at least know that you have the wherewithal to gain more happiness than you came with. So in order for that to happen, you need to be more thankful when you leave than when you came, because it's thankful people who are the happiest. So today I want to give you four reasons to be thankful with four scriptures each. So I have, how many is that? Any math majors here? That's 16 verses of scripture that over the next number of minutes we're going to try to, we are going to work our way through. How does that sound? So I'm going to give you four areas to be thankful for and reasons to give thanks to God. Here's number one. Give thanks to God for who He is. That's it. Now I'm going to give you four verses, but we need to be a people of God who give thanks to God simply because God is who He is. And have you discovered He's God all by Himself? Is that right or no? He doesn't need you to be any more God, and you being you doesn't make Him any less God. He is God all by Himself. He has none above Him. In fact, He has none beside Him. He is God all by Himself. Everything is below Him, isn't it? And aren't we? And even the spiritual beings. He is God. So we're going to give thanks today simply for who He is. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 says this. In fact, it starts with these two words, give thanks. The whole verse says this, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, the first word of that verse is an action word. Give. Now, I know as children, we like to have things given to us, don't we? And come on, adults, you like to have things given to you as well. Who's excited for Christmas because you're hoping somebody's going to give you something that you desire in your heart, right? But as we get older, it's very difficult to convince a child of this, but as we get older, we realize it truly is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, I haven't convinced my 9-year-old son of that yet, or my 13-year-old daughter, or my 12-year-old, and only one of them's not here to defend themselves. And even they have giving hearts. Children do have giving hearts, but as we mature in life, we understand it is truly better to give than it is to receive. Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord. Thanks is something you need to be giving to God. If all you have in your life is a wish list, you're missing out on a key component of prayer. You're missing out on a key component of what you should be doing as a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to decide, I'm going to give, and what are you going to give? You're going to give thanks to God. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He's good. Well, what are we doing today? We're talking about giving thanks to God for who He is. Who is He? He's good. Amen. He is good. In fact, I bet you can finish this for me. God is good.
All the time.
You know that. All the time.
God is
good. Now, all the time, right? So let's do that again and just stop with the word all. God is good. Some of you just had to get that the time in there, right? But that's correct. All the time. God's not just good when you're having an easy time. God's not just good when your times are good. No, He's good when your times are bad. When your days are dark. Simply this, God is good. Why are we going to give thanks to God? Because God is good, and He's good all the time. God is good, and His love endures forever. Isn't that good news? No matter who you are or what you do, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or love you any less. That's good news, isn't it? And just when things are down, the chips are down, or things aren't going the way you like, no. His love endures through that. By very nature of the word endure means it's got to be stronger than the things you face. His love endures forever. You know, there's not too many people that have to endure a vacation. No, you have to endure going to work every day, right? His love endures forever. He is good, and His love endures forever. Now, I've only got 35 minutes left, and we're still in verse 1, so we better keep moving today. What do you think? We've got 15 verses to go. Psalm chapter 7, verse 17 says this, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High." Well, let's break it down. What's the psalmist start with in this verse? I will give thanks. What is he saying? This is an act of my will. Not how I feel, not how things are going. I will give thanks. Now, I want you to keep something in mind as we read some of the psalms today. Yes, these psalms that we have chosen today, they accentuate giving thanks and giving praise and recognizing God for His righteousness. He's good. He's God above all else. But it's the same psalmist that wrote things like, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Also, in those raw feeling moments, it was the psalmist who wrote, "God, where are you? How long, Lord, will you allow this? Will you not save us? Will you not rescue us?" So when we read these psalms, it's not someone that doesn't have a grasp on reality. No, he gets it. But he also gets who God is. And he writes and recognizing God, and I'm going to give Him thanks because He is who He is. He says here, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness." Who is He? He's righteous. He's righteous. And one of the things that means, all the stuff in this world that's going on, He's going to deal with it. He's righteous. And I'm going to give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. Second half of that verse, "I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High." Well, there it is again. He's the Most High. There's none above Him. There's none beside Him. He and He alone is the Lord Most High. And because He is righteous and He is the Lord Most High, I'm going to give Him thanks today. How about Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3? "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving." You know, when I read that, well, let's read the whole verse first. "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is great," or "for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." What's he start out with here? "Let us come." You know what I see when I read those words is a change of location. Whether it's an actual physical change or a change of location between your ears, what's going on in your mind. Let us come. Let us move from a place of depression. Let us move from a place of distraction. Let us come out of a place of interruption. Let us come move from a place of self-centeredness. Let us come. It says, let us come before Him. Now, whether that's leaving your house and coming to God's house or just disciplining your mind from wandering, do you come here? Do you go into the presence of the Lord at places in your day? Do you come before God with thanksgiving? Now, I know we're all fallen and broken, and we've got a gazillion and one needs of peace. But are you including thanksgiving when you come before the presence of God in your life and in your prayer life? Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God. Oh, He has no rival. He has no equal. As we've said earlier, He is God all by Himself. The psalmist repeats that here. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, small g, at the end of that verse. And then there's Psalm 106, verse 1. It's similar to the first one. It just simply says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." God is good all the time. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then it states it again, His love endures forever. His love, absolutely nothing you can do. And on the flip side, we learn there is not love you any less. Why? Because it endures forever. That's not what it says. It simply says, for who He is. Second reason we can give thanks to the Lord today is, I will give thanks to you, Lord. Oh, are they just dirty? Anybody got a cloth I can? I will tell of your wonderful, when I feel like it, all my heart, wonderful deeds. Oh my goodness, creation. Is that a wonderful deed? Has God done amazing things in creating the universe and the earth in which we live? Oh, has He not delivered the children of Israel out of 400 years of bondage? That's a wonderful deed. Did He not provide miraculously for him in the wilderness? Did He not part the Red Sea for them to go across on dry land into the land of promise? Did Jesus not feed 5,000 plus with a little boy's lunch? Did He not walk on the water? Did He not speak into the tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth? Did He not heal the blind? Did He not raise the sick? Did He not willingly lay down His life? Did He not willingly take it up again? Did He not come out of the tomb? Has He not performed wonderful deeds in your life as well? Can you give testimony of His wonderful deeds of saving your soul? Can you testify of His wonderful deeds of healing you? Can you testify of His wonderful deeds of providing and protecting and delivering and lavishing His grace, His love, His truth, His faithfulness, His goodness upon your life? Will you tell of the wonderful deeds of a loving and caring God for your life? I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. And then Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, and here it is again, and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Let's talk about it. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. Now, God is love, and His love is unfailing. God's love cannot fail. Sometimes you're like, God, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on. No, no, you need to get into God's Word. Get God's Word into you. Let it form your faith and understand His love is unfailing. His love cannot and will not fail you. His love is unfailing today, as it always has been. So give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds. And then it goes on to say, for He satisfies the thirsty. Wave at me today if you're saved. You've given your heart, your life to Jesus. Amen. Why? Why did you come to Him? Because everything in your life was just wonderful? Because everything in life was perfect? Because nothing could possibly get any better in your life? No, you came to Him because your soul, the very core of who you are, was lost, wandering aimlessly, was parched. It was thirsty, and the things of this world was not satisfying you. Why else would you have come to Him? Because you were perfectly okay and totally satisfied with everything in your life. No, 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 no. Why do we give thanks to Him? Because He satisfies the thirsty. Your soul was thirsty. Your life was empty. What was going on in your heart was dry. You were dried up, and you came to Him, and He satisfied. Why? Your soul was empty. It was hungry. And as it says here, He fills the hungry with good things. Because you experienced at some point in your life, taste and see the Lord is good. Amen. And He has satisfied the longings of your heart and the hunger in your soul. And that's why today we give thanks to the Lord for who He is, for what He has done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All this is for your benefit, Paul writes, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, Paul was writing to deal with some of the issues that the believers in Corinth were dealing with in their faith journey. And he writes, and all of this is for your benefit. Aren't you glad that God has written his word and it benefits you? It's good for us, isn't it? All this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. How many of you know that God has done in you not just to work in you, but to work through you to touch others? What you think that God has bestowed upon you, all this is for your benefit, more people. God wants to flow through. You've heard me tell the story. Anything to do with God, the Bible, or church. In so many words, told him to get lost. My grandparents got saved. My grandfather was, you got to come to church. You got to hear about Jesus. Ellen got saved. Then my mother got saved. Others got saved. And then me and my mother and other family, my little family, and it overflows to the glory of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Few of the things God created is good. Is good. No. And nothing is because it is consecrated by the word at all. Oh, can you, the leaves have turned beautiful colors and now they're faith next spring as they God created the sun to give us light. The sun rose this morning. A deer was running next to us for a while. That individual next to you is a creation, people that God created in his vision. It's beautiful. And when you realize these things, leaves are more vibrant. The air is before for everything God created is. So why do we give thanks for anything and everything? In Jeremiah chapter 30. Now, why would something need to be restored? Worn out. Something's wrong. That's why it should be, right? You know the story of Israel's history. They're up. They're down. They're repenting and they're obeying. Everything's going good. They're turning their back on God, sinning and disobeying again, right? So here they're in captivity, here they're in slavery, here they're in exile, up, down. They cry out to God, they repent, he rescues, and it just becomes a vicious cycle, doesn't it? And Jeremiah is writing in a downtime in Israel's history. But he writes in chapter 30, verse 19, in hopes of restoration. And he writes these words, from them will come songs of thanksgiving. And the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. How many know that the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're at a time in your life, things aren't the way God created them to be. Maybe in your heart, you're not living the way God created you to be. Maybe something in your family has gone wrong. There's a wayward spouse, a wayward child. Something's not right in your life. And it's a down season in your life. Did you know that you can give thanks to God for that? And Jeremiah is writing these words before the restoration. And he writes, even though they're in this situation now, what's he say? From them will come songs of thanksgiving. Hold on, child of God, a little while longer. From you will come songs of thanksgiving. Out of that turmoil, out of that dark season, out of that situation, God will restore you. And you will be able to sing the sound of rejoicing. God will add to your life. You will not be decreased. He will bring you honor. You will not be disdained. So you can give him thanks even in the midst of a mess right now. How about Philippians chapter 6 or chapter 4 verses 6 and 7? I bet you know this already, or at least most of you do. It says, do not be anxious about easy things. I hear a no. That's not what it says. Do not be anxious when everything is smooth sailing. That's not what it says. No, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, wait a minute. Connect the dots here. Do you get anxious in your life when everything is smooth sailing, perfectly okay, neatly in order? Or when do you have a tendency to get anxious? When things are a mess. When things are not in order. When things are not okay. When things are not right. Oh, God! Right? We get anxious in those moments. So he's talking to us about those moments. And he says, do not be anxious about anything. About anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition. And then the next two words, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So in the moments where you would normally be anxious, where you would normally be concerned, where you would normally be scared, yes, in all of those situations, every situation, it says here, pray, make your petitions known to God. But how do you do it? With thanksgiving. Well, you're like, God, it's so hard to be thankful when things are a mess. It's so hard to be thankful when life is out of order and it's not going the way it should be. But he says here, that's when you add thanksgiving. You do it with thanksgiving. How can you be thankful in the difficult moments? How about this? What does the scripture say? Come boldly before the throne of grace. So you and I can be thankful that there's a God that we can go boldly to when we need His grace. We can be thankful because we know He cares for us. We can be thankful because we know He loves us. We can be thankful because we know that He's greater than anything and everything that we're facing in our lives. And when you realize that God is who He is, He's good, He's greater, you can be thankful when you make your request known to Him. So don't be anxious, yes, about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Maybe if you don't have a sense of that peace, how thankful are you when you make your requests known to God? Here we go. How about Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude. Well, that's another word for thankfulness, isn't it? Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, it says, to God the Father through Him. Can you honestly say that everything you do for the course of your day, from the time you get up, get ready, go to work, do this, do that, come home, evening with the family, do you give thanks in everything throughout the whole day? I look at the world around us and I see an attitude of gratitude horribly missing. Would you agree? But you and I are followers of Jesus. You and I are Christ people. And it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. One more verse in giving thanks for anything and everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18 says, give thanks in the good circumstances. Nope. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. There's that word all again. That's the good, the bad, the bright, the dark, the easy, the difficult. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then look what he writes. Ouch. For this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus. You ever thought, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what your will for me is. Well, here's a good place to start. Instead of trying to work from the unknown to the known, why don't you work from the known to the unknown? It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So give thanks in all circumstances. It's His will. So you can say, you know what? I made a mess of this, or this situation is terrible, but thank you, Lord, because you know me, you are forming me, you have allowed this for some reason, so I'm going to give thanks to you, and then you can say, I'm in God's will. Amen? Amen? According to this verse of Scripture. So who wants to be in God's will today? Amen. Give Him thanks in all circumstances, and you're in the will of God. All right, do we have time for one more? One more reason to give thanks to God. Here it is, for what He promises to do. Oh, yes, give thanks to God for who He is. Oh, yes, for what He's done. Oh, yes, for anything and everything. How about what He promises to do? Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. Now, how many knows that everything was not so beautiful in Isaiah's day either? Israel was in trouble. So he raises up prophets to speak the word of the Lord. And Isaiah says, in that day, you will say, oh no, not right now. Things are a mess right now. Things are a mess. Things are not the way God designed. You've sinned. You've disobeyed Israel. So look at where it's left you. It's not good. It's not desirable. It's not God's design. It's not what's in His heart. But He writes, in that day, what's He talking about? A day of restoration. In that day, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His known. Make known among the nations what He has done. And proclaim that His name is exalted. I want you to know, beloved, you can have, it says, in that day you will say. I forgot those words. He says, in that day you will say, and then give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name. I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're facing, but it's not the end of the story. There is an in that day in your life that God has planned for you. Come on, somebody say it with me. In that day. Say it again. In that day. One more time. In that day. God has an in that day for you. Why do we give thanks to God? For what He promises to do. And in that day, you will say, just like Isaiah wrote to Israel, give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim, hey, God has a that day planned. 33 verse 11, the gladness, the voices of to the house of the Lord saying, His love endures forever. And then he adds the fortunes of the land as they were before canker worm is eaten. He will restore those. Like he spoke this promise through the promise, restore your fortunes. Why do you give thanks to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and will every way so that you can be in thanksgiving to God. Oh, he will do it. Exciting one. This is in regards to Jesus. Jesus was what we're about to celebrate this Christmas season, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, willingly laid down His life on the cross so that we can spend eternity with Him, cleansed our sins away, raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. After He raised from the dead for 40 days, He made several appearances to His disciples and to others. One crowd was a crowd of around 500. And then after that 40 days, He was done here on earth for now. Right? So here we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. His work here is finished for the first coming. And in this verse it says, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Jesus was here. It was the transfiguration, right? Or the transcending back to heaven from whence He came. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And then they said this, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go. Why do we give thanks to God? Because for what He promises to do. Oh, He's coming back again. He came the first time like he said he would, and he's going to come back again. He promises to do it. And there is coming a day when the trumpet of God is going to sound. There's coming a day when the eastern sky is going to split wide open, and he's going to come back in like manner and set his foot down on the Mount of Olives and march into Jerusalem, and all the world is going to see him. And at that time, he's going to begin the restoration process, establishing a kingdom of righteousness. And ultimately, there will be no more tears, no more sickness, no more crying, no more dying, no more pain, no more tragedy. It's all going to be over. Why do we give thanks to God for what he promises to do? Come on, somebody. Can you give thanks to the Lord today in the house of God? Would you stand with me this morning? All right, I'm going to walk down the aisles, and I want you to shout it out. I want to hear you give something you're thankful to God for. Come on. What is it? Anything. He saved me. Somebody else. What are you thankful to God for? Family.
Good health.
Protection. You're thankful to God. What are you thankful to God over here for? He healed you. Come on, anybody here in the house been healed today? Amen. What was yours?
He healed me.
He healed me. Thankful for healing. Come on over here. What are you thankful for?
Healing.
Healing. Another healing.
Deliverance.
A deliverance right here. Come on, somebody else. What are you thankful for?
He provides everything.
He provides everything. What are you thankful for?
Salvation.
Family?
Salvation.
Salvation. Salvation.
Job.
Job. Yes. The promise of eternal life.
My children.
For what he is? Yes, praise the Lord. What are you thankful for?
Love.
Health?
Love.
Love, okay.
Peace.
Thankful for peace.
His word.
His word. Thankful for his word.
Everything.
Everything for life.
Protection.
Deliverance. Deliverance. What are we thankful for over here? Everything. Education.
Salvation.
Salvation. Mercy. Yes, come on. Is he worthy of thanksgiving in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Listen, give thanks to God for who he is. Give thanks to God for what he's done. Give thanks to God for anything and everything, and give thanks to God for what he promises to do. Father, I want to thank you for every individual in this place today. I pray your blessings on them, your favor on them, God, that you would keep them in their families, and they would give thanks because they recognize your goodness. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.